Well, we hope you're having a good time here this morning at Rosie on the House. Everybody's probably left the house looking for chickens. We're here this morning talking this hour about holistic, sustainable landscape design and maintenance with Janet Weibel. She's a registered landscape architect right here in the Phoenix metro area, certified arborist. We actually met her through our regular certified arborist, Mr. John Eisenhower, of Save a Tree Integrity Tree Service. And we're talking this morning with Janet. Janet, we do have some people lining up that would like to visit with you. Let's bring Miss Kay into the conversation and see how we can help her the most this morning. Good morning, Kay.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a walkway on the west side of my house that needs to have a plant back there. It's going to be almost the full sun. And I want it not to get any more than 10 feet tall against my wall. I would like a flowery plant, something that will be water resistant or water friendly. It doesn't take a lot of water. And something that maybe flowers all year round, but especially in the winter and in the spring. Do you have any suggestions?
And we're in a narrow walk area. Did I get that right, Ms. Kay?
Yes, and okay. That's right. It's probably about, I would say, around 8 feet to 8 feet wide, including the sidewalk. And I need something that won't jut out very far.
All right, Janet, I'm just going to sit back and you tell her what blooms year-round.
Not many things bloom year-round unless maybe some have a secondary bloom season. Most plants bloom really big time in the spring, in the summer, and they'll have a second bloom in the fall. And there are a few things that bloom in the winter, so we try to keep those in mind as well. But all year round, you might get blooms of a hibiscus plant if you fertilize it and care for it properly. Depending on temperatures, they are sensitive to frost. But a hibiscus, you could probably get to bloom year round, but it'll take some extra food.
And this was exactly played into how you open the hour, is that you plant something next to an area that you're going to be occupying a lot, and you put the wrong plant there, and you're constantly trying to regain that space from the plant by trimming it back and trimming it back. So she's got 8 feet along the planter wall, along the sidewalk wall. She'd like color. Hibiscus would be one.
Now, tell me, Kay, how wide is the space
about
itself?
About 8 feet.
Oh, so you've got 8 feet to plant in.
Yes, my wall to the side of the house.
Okay, so there are options. How tall would you like this plant to get?
I would like it to be no more than 10 feet, so it doesn't go over the wall.
Okay, well, one that's it's like the opposite of a hibiscus. It's called a hop bush. If your priority is screening, the hop bush is a great option. However, it doesn't have the big fancy flowers that a hibiscus would have.
Hop, H-O-P,
uh-huh.
Hop.
Yeah.
Just hopbushimage.com to see one?
Yeah, you could do that. For botanical people, it's the Dodonea viscosa. It comes in green and purple. Purple's a nice color. It's a more desert-appearing plant. So if your goal is to have a Mediterranean landscape, it may be something new to you, and it may not be your first choice. The Ruellia is another plant that gets purple flowers, and that I've seen, they can get 6 to 7 feet tall. But that one, to do that, you'd have to prune it about once a year to rejuvenate it, but not all the way down. Don't take it all the way down. But just to get more growth out of it, because a plant will respond to pruning by increasing with a flush of leaves.
Fantastic.
So it'll keep getting its size up.
Well, there you go, Miss Kay. There's three recommendations. It was the
hibiscus,
the hop bush, or the ruellia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And there are more. I mean, it's, yeah.
But so there's three to start looking
there's
at.
There's three
right
to look
there.
At, right.
And on this topic of...
Another one I got to mention, it just came to mind, is the Tacomas. The Tacomas are beautiful, and they get that tall.
So there's four that she could research to start looking.
Right.
Fantastic. And then we've got a call from Gold Canyon. Let's bring Linda into the conversation because it plays right into our conversation about long-term questions you need to ask about what you're planting today. Good morning, Linda.
Hi. I've got plants that are on solid caliche out here in Gold Canyon, and I've got a lemon. It's a great bearer, and it's about 15 years old, but we get these high winds, and the lemon branches have kind of twisted around each other, and they need to be cut out, but I can't reach in there, and I want to know how to... I can't do the work myself anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly I do. I've been doing my own work for a long time, but like you said, you get older and you just can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know how to get in there to get some of those branches out without really topping the tree, or should I go up from the bottom and raise the... it's about...
Well. Well,
3 feet
okay.
from the bottom now, where the branches start.
We've got the right person in studio to answer that. Certified arborist Janet Weibel. Sounds like a pretty intertwined lemon tree.
Did you say the canopy now is 2 feet above the ground?
About 3 feet.
3 feet.
No. The branches start coming out about 3 feet. And the tree is about... almost 20 feet tall. It's about 15 years old, and it's a really good bearer. I'd like to keep it.
Of course.
But it's so dense, the branches in there, and they've twisted around from high winds. Sometimes they get caught, and then they start growing that way.
Yeah.
I would
stand back from the
encourage
tree.
Her.
Yeah, stand back from the tree and determine the shape you want that tree to maintain. And keep that in mind. And lemons kind of grow upright, and so you want to protect its natural shape. I would start by going in and trimming the branches that you can that are dead, diseased, or crossing, if you know, the ones that you can. And just do this as a process. And you can start now and do a little bit, and then in the fall do some more. But just start with that. I mean, citrus, the inner canopy, a lot of trees or branches are dead, so you can just kind of break those off or cut them with a good sharp saw to get those out of there and just do cleanup. And then see what you have left, and then plan your next pruning session when it's not as hot, or when you want to before next spring, and go in again and do the same. The lemons come out on the outer edge of the tree, and so you want to keep the blooms that are there right now, because those are what's going to turn into your fruit. But do a phased cleanup on the interior canopy of the tree, and try to avoid raising the canopy too much, because you don't want to expose the trunk and some of the larger branches to the hot sun.
Boy, people with their lemon trees. I've got a client in Paradise Valley who had this ginormous big producer for years that got weather damage. It split itself four different ways, and now it's like this twisted little trunk going up with everything else laying down on the ground. She won't even let us take the limbs on the ground away until she finishes harvesting the lemons.
Right. Well,
old little tree, 2 years ago it was so gorgeous, and now it's just a scraggly little weed standing up there, and she won't let us touch it.
No, they're prolific. I had a microburst hit my lemon tree and took about half of it off, and I'm like, oh my goodness, you know. But I didn't want to remove it because it was still bearing fruit, and someone came to do work in the yard last year, and he's like, well, I'll take that tree out for you. And I'm like, no, let's just leave that alone.
Yeah.
And I had someone come and trim it, and they did a nice job, and that tree looks as good as ever. I mean, it looks great, so it's recovered. They're very prolific and very durable.
What did you call it? Rejuvenation trimming?
Well, I wouldn't do that to the lemon tree. That we reserve that for shrubs.
But you've saved this tree of yours that's been microburst split.
Yeah.
Just with trained good.
Good trimming, remove branches that are damaged, diseased, or dead, and use nice clean cuts and feed it. You know, you feed our citrus trees 3 times a year on the holidays, Valentine's, Memorial, and Labor Day.
Okay.
And, we've heard that before.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. And so just feed that citrus tree, and I bet it'll come back.
All right, Miss Linda. Hope that helps out in Gold Canyon. Now, the next question I've got to ask you, if a client calls you for a landscaping design scheme, do you like it when they're on a flood irrigated lot, or does that scare you?
It doesn't scare me. I live on a flood irrigated lot,
okay.
So I know all the implications of having flood irrigation water, and you just have to manage the design to respect that flood irrigation.
And if someone's really, really particular about their lawn and TIF appearance, it gets really tough, doesn't it?
Yeah, flood irrigation water is great, but if you want that manicured golf course look, flood irrigation water is going to be a little bit of a challenge because the flood water brings in the seeds.
Sure.
Our ditches are open, and whatever blows in the water is going to show up in your yard. I don't have a pecan tree, and I have pecan shells every time I get irrigation. So you just have to be aware of the implications of what is happening and manage it.
With a sprinkler irrigated yard, you can so much better control what your yard is getting. And if you really are particular about your TIF lawn look, that's a better option.
Well,
in that case.
Well, and again, we want to respect the property and what the people want for their yard. If you've got Bermuda with flood irrigation and you feed your Bermuda and keep it healthy, it's going to outcompete the weeds that come in. So you'll be okay.
All right. Good tip.
But, I mean, the last 2 years we've had so much rain and the weeds are a problem. And I've had to treat my weeds this year in my Bermuda flood irrigated lawn because I couldn't take it anymore. So.
And in that treating, you're doing a broadleaf applicant with a pre-emergent?
Yeah, they did pre-emergent, they did a broadleaf, and they added an extra special chemical for the crabgrass.
Yeah, okay. It is that kind of fight you're going to have.
Yeah, and the other, a really good tip is to mow your weeds or grass, Bermuda grass, whatever it is, before the seed heads show up, and then you've taken away the seeds.
There you go.
Everything has to be adjusted to your tolerance level and your ability to maintain it to the way you want it.
All right. When we come back, we'll finish and wrap up with Miss Janet Weibel of Weibel & Associates Landscape Architecture. Chuck, I see your question on the line. We're going to take this short little break. We'll come back and answer Chuck's question in Gilbert, and then we'll wrap up with Miss Janet. And again, I want to mention your book because I know it's made for the professionals, but even a hack landscaper like me gets a lot out of it. It makes me think before I fill up the chainsaw.
Thank you. I'm so glad you put the chainsaw away.